Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Are you serious?
So this is How to Kill an Hour. There's plenty of ways to kill time out there. Thank you for killing time with us in advance. I'm Marcus Bronzy. Just want to let you know that there is a great way you can keep abreast of what is happening in the world of How to Kill an Hour, and that is by heading to our website, howtokillanhour.com. Also, Google us, because we're at the top, like you should be in 2018. Anyway, let's kick off today's show. We are joined by a tech expert, to say the least, someone who's been on all of the television channels, I feel, but most recently has been residing on The Gadget Show. Welcome to the show, Georgie Barrett. Woo! Make some noise! Billy! Woo! Clap in here, Bill!
Come on, Billy!
So,
he was slow on that, wasn't he?
He does it deliberately.
He's playing hard to get.
Yeah. How's it going, Georgie?
Yeah, really well, thanks. Thanks for having me.
No problem at all, man. Thank you for joining us on the show. You are an expert at killing time, specifically an hour, because you've managed to kill an hour before you've even pressed record today.
Apologies. I got the time wrong. I basically thought I was 5 minutes late. It turns out I'm an hour and 5 minutes late. So, it's not the best start.
Just style it out.
Just style it out. Yeah. That's literally the first thing you said to me there. You were like, oh, well, at least you know how to kill an hour. And I was like, yeah. Very on brand. Always on brand.
Bang on brand. So we like to talk about how one has been killing time recently. We call it kill a bit, actually. So how have you been killing a bit of time recently?
So recently, I've gone very analog, and this is by not me volunteering at all. I basically lost my phone at the beginning of September. We're now at the end of September, so I've had almost a month without proper connection and without a proper phone, and it has been killing me. It really has. So I've actually taken to reading quite a lot. Reading. That's how I've been recently killing time.
So you are a tech connoisseur, I'm going to say. So
this is embarrassing.
You're in this world where I presume there is a lot of social media, technology and stuff. Actually, let's take it back a little bit. How did you lose your phone? Like, what happened?
I was at a wedding in France, which was lovely.
Right.
And I just left it in the taxi. And I was so convinced that I just left it at home. I didn't even bother calling it or anything. And then a day later, I was like, oh, I really should try and find my phone now.
Yeah.
Since then, I've been with a very, very embarrassing iPhone 4.
An iPhone 4.
I don't even have the right charging lead for it. So I have to carry around an old speaker that I can like dock it into to charge. And it lasts about 3 hours. And I can just really make phone calls off it. That's all I can do.
So you're on the iPhone that which had the edges, wasn't it? That had the sharp edges, because the iPhones before it were round.
This will make you feel nostalgic, Marcus.
An old school iPhone. Oh, wow.
Oh, now that's what we're talking about.
An iPhone that fits in my hand with ease. Wow. This is the one with the metal bit around the edges. This is just for you when you listen to the podcast. I've got to describe this because it had the metal buttons for volume. Oh, my gosh.
I would like to insert now, I do get given other lovely phones, but because I'm a lovely person, I always give them away. Right. And I just hadn't prepared for this eventuality. And it's basically taken ages to get it back on insurance because I was always missing some kind of form or whatnot.
But you know, in 2018, retro is in though, right?
I know.
Right now, you're retro phoning out here.
I know. So I'm very looking forward to getting it back and to, you know, scroll a little bit more with my life.
Yeah. What's it like then? Because I think I've done like 30 hours without my phone by accident once, and that was interesting to say the least. But what's the experience like? What were the first few days like, and what's it like now kind of having that digital detox?
It was really interesting. Like, I do think about how much I'm on my phone quite a lot, and to sort of be forced to do it has made me think How, you know what it is? It's more about my concentration time. That's definitely gone up. So when I'm just working at the computer and my phone is out next to me, I'm constantly, as soon as I get to a tricky bit of my work, I go straight onto my phone.
Yeah.
And I just like have a little scroll for a bit and then get lost on it for in it for a bit. And it's been really good not having that. However, getting around, generally staying in contact with people, ordering Ubers, working out how to get places. I mean, the list of having it so outweighs that extra bit of concentration time. But I can't wait to get the new iPhone to do the iOS 12. What's it called? Screen time. I'm behind because I can't even get this yet.
It's pretty cool because Billy's actually got his hands on the new iPhone. He managed to get it. When you got it, good day release, Bill.
Yeah, day release.
Good day release. How are you finding it, mate?
It's all right. Not much different than the previous one, but...
Are you using Screen Time, like the app that kind of tells you?
No.
Really? Oh, you see, I would be all over that. I would be really, really interested to see how much time I spend. And to set time limits as well.
Yeah.
You know, like Instagram, an hour can go by. And sometimes it makes me feel shit about myself as well.
It's true. Yeah, it is. Because you're like, what? I could have done something more with that time.
I know. But, and you know, like when you're perving on other people's lives and this is a really curated view they're giving of their lives. You're like, why not have as many friends and look as hot and have all those things?
We were just talking before we pressed record about how people are always showing the fact that they're living their best life on Instagram.
Precisely.
And you very rarely see anyone having anything other than hashtag good times.
Yeah, which is absolutely fine. I think, you know, by the nature of things, you don't want to post boring stuff. It is meant to be a platform. It is meant to be that curated view of what you get up to. But equally, if you're surrounding yourself with that all the time, then it can make you feel a bit like you're not quite achieving.
Yeah, it makes you feel like I need to catch up.
I know.
Yeah.
Why is everyone else doing these things and I'm not?
Yeah, so screen time's good for that. I mean, I don't know. It felt a bit weird the first time my phone told me, that's enough, go to bed. It's too late for you to be on Snapchat. That was a bit mad because I unlocked my phone and it dims out all of... It's great that you've not seen it because I can explain it. It dims all the apps that it deems not necessary.
Ah.
So it's funny, texting you can still do, but like pretty much anything that's fun, it dims it. And if you try and select it, it says,
naughty, please stop that.
And you can override it. But
so, and you set how long you want to be on each one.
I set so a this is general time
limit. How long are you saying for all this stuff?
I'm saying from 10 o'clock till 6. I don't want to be doing anything other than necessary things. And that's how I have it set up at the moment.
Would you ever set a time limit, like just saying no more than an hour on something per day? Can you do that?
I could. I think you can set it so that when it locks you out, you can come back in for a little bit longer, like another 15 minutes. I've not set it to specific apps cutting me off. I don't know if I could. I don't know if I want to do that because I feel like during the day I may need to do those extra swipes on Instagram and Snap. I don't know, man. I think for me, it's not being up late at night, looking at the blue light and staying awake. That's the main thing for me because I can go to bed, have a little swipe, and then it's 1 in the morning.
I know.
And then I'm not going to get a good night's sleep.
You get lost down that rabbit hole of shit.
Yeah, exactly. So we've heard what it's like from your side to kind of have this digital detox. How were your friends when you suddenly weren't appearing in the WhatsApp groups?
I know. WhatsApp, again, that's really, does take up a lot of time, WhatsApp stuff. Yeah. So that's something I've realised that hasn't actually impacted that much because if people do want to call me, they can call me. But the whole sort of inane chat, I've just stepped out of for a month. And I do feel a little bit more sort of disconnected from them. But actually, I mean, I don't think I've missed out on anything. I still see them at the weekends and stuff and they still say the same thing that they would say on WhatsApp. But equally, I will look forward to getting my phone back. I've actually got it. I've just picked up my phone, so
okay,
I will.
Cool.
I'll be up and running. I'll be connected again.
In the meantime, you have got quite a crafty way of kind of staying a little bit connected, though, right? Haven't you?
What's that?
The iPad that you whipped out.
Yeah, exactly. I sort of like. I even once when I was going on the aeroplane, I had to use my laptop to sort of scan in my boarding pass. They're like, "Who is this girl?"
So
it's like having a very big iPhone.
Hey, listen, I think we're almost there actually with some of the big iPhones. They are looking fablety. So that's how you've been killing time recently, detoxing yourself. That's great. But you've been filming a gadget show, right?
Yeah. So next series is starting middle of October. So we've been quite busy. We sort of like backlog maybe sort of 3 or 4 episodes, the little VTs, the little segments that go in the middle. So we've been over to IFA. Me and Otis went over there, which was really good fun. And like, you know, IFA, CES, Mobile World Congress, I always like to tick those tech conferences or exhibitions off because I just think it's really good at sort of setting you up for what's going to come out in the next year and just sort of seeing the trends. I mean, you know, you can't have a completely new trend every single year, but just seeing the way that smartphones are going, seeing the way that maybe Alexa's being integrated a lot more, you do get a vibe for what's coming and what the year ahead's going to be like. So yeah, we went over there. I saw my first 8K TV.
8K.
8K. I mean, it is sexy. It looks amazing. It genuinely looks almost like holographic coming out at you. But there's no 8K content in the world. Full stop.
I was going to say, like, well, who's shooting in 8K? Like, movies, I guess, you could get in 8K?
No. There is literally no... They only make it for the TVs that are going, you know, on display purposes.
All right.
So, at the moment, it is a little bit redundant. Now, they do, like, upscale content using AI quite efficiently. Cool. And that seems to work quite well. But I don't know how that would compare if you just had a really good 4K TV.
Yeah. So... And there's
but
also
it's coming, like 8K is coming.
Wow.
It will eventually. And ultimately, this is how it works. You know, the TV manufacturers make the TV, they can put up 8K, and then slowly we'll start to see content being released. So they're sort of saying that the Olympics, that will be a time where they'll start to have 8K content coming out.
Sports would be phenomenal.
Phenomenal. And gaming, I can imagine, would be really,
gaming
really good.
Gaming would be insane. Because if you watch like football in 4K, just the fact that you can see bits of grass flying around when the ball's getting kicked, it just adds that amazing realism to it.
The only thing is that do you ever find this with 4K when you watch like a series or something and sometimes it looks a bit fake, like you can sort of see the makeup on them and like the lighting, it's almost a bit too obvious sometimes.
There's a lot of, I've got a few mates that work in production and they said they had to step their game up, not only with 4K, but when HD became a thing that was going to become regularly consumed. They were like, there's certain things we could get away with that you just stick a bit of tape in it. No one will see it.
Yeah, I know.
You can't do that
anymore.
You
really can't.
Yeah.
And you can like see if things look a bit cardboardy. You're like, 100%. Nah, looks a little bit cheap that.
Yeah, you're like, that's a water pistol you painted grey. That ain't a gun name, mate. Now I'm not scared anymore. Now when I'm watching The Bodyguard, I can't give any spoilers. I'll get an absolute roasting from
you. Did you like The Bodyguard?
I thought it was amazing. Just like Line of Duty, because it is the same writer, I believe, and some of the same producers. I came in halfway through the series and had to go back and watch. I think I watched episode 3 and I was like, right, I'm going back to episode 1 and watched it. One of the best shows I've watched this year.
It rated so well. It was getting over like 10 million, 11 million views, which in this day and age, this TV clam, it's very good.
It's good. And it was also a very diverse set of characters in it. Like, you know, there was a really good mixture of men and women, and I just thought the roles that they played kind of broke stereotypes but without forcing it down your throat kind of thing. Like, there was a bit of backlash from some arseholes on the internet basically complaining about, oh, all these women in powerful positions. But I was like, nah, fuck that. The content's great. The show's amazing. It's a great watch. Great
Absolutely.
Watch. Give me some more Bodyguard. Apparently season 2 they're going to do. I don't know how.
I don't know how.
How much more can he go through?
What?
As a man, he needs
a
break.
He just needs to rest up.
Yeah.
Put his phone down, just have some him time.
He needs to chill while we watch Luther. There you go. So IFA was really cool for you. And I kind of want to ask you, like, what can you tell us about the new series? Like, what are you allowed to tell us? Because a lot of the things you've done have been shrouded in mystery and you've revealed as much as you can. Like when you went to Facebook.
Yes. So in terms of this series coming up, in all honesty, I only really know about the bits that I've filmed. So this is the one thing that I've really noticed from being a tech journalist, where you're sort of creating your own content and sort of liaising with the brands and PRs directly, to now being part of a TV show. It's like such a bigger process that goes on. And actually, I'm just like the little person at the end that people go, oh, we better tell Georgie what she's up to now. So I'm just not part of those conversations. So it genuinely comes as a surprise to me most of the time of what we're getting up to. And we were meant to do a trip to China, but unfortunately it had to get cancelled because there was visa complications and all this stuff, which is really disappointing, because I would have loved that. But we, as I said, we've got IFA, and we've just filmed a nighttime special. Where we're sort of looking at gadgets that can either, as the clocks change, think about what you can do in your evenings. We looked at some sad gadgets. You know, we just looked this up, the seasonal affective disorder.
That's it, right, affective disorder.
So these are gadgets that try and combat the fact that people naturally feel a little bit more lethargic and tired during the winter months.
Yeah.
So it's things like the Lumi body clock, alarm clock, so it's like a light that wakes you up, and using light as therapy. So there's some quite interesting stuff there that I'm like, I definitely want to have that for this for this winter coming up. We did a really cool outdoor cinema setup where we had like this sort of inflatable screen that almost looks like almost like a bouncy castle, you know, like it sort of has hot air that comes into it. And it's massive. It's sort of like 3 meters by 4 meters. And then we had a really good Epson short throw projector. And they're just really good on the gadget show of like not doing just the one gadget, but like the bean bags we were on were really cool. And the way that we like made the food that we were going to eat was really interesting. So, yeah, stuff like that. I'm like, I so want that in my house. Yeah. And this is the other thing. I used to get loads of freebies. I never get freebies anymore.
What?
I know.
I thought you'd be swimming in the freeness.
I thought I would be as well. It's really disappointing.
It all goes into that giveaway. They're like, are we going to give away this and this and this?
I know. You should try recording the voiceovers on those. It leaves you puce in the face.
It's insane.
It is insane.
Like, just in case you were not a watcher of the Gadget Show, please pay special attention to the giveaway. I mean, is it true that you have to give away storage with it as well?
Yes, we do. We do a month's free storage. Apparently, though, people get the prices the next day on eBay. You see them all go up.
Yeah, fair enough.
You can't expect them to keep hold of it all.
Listen, fair dues. If you win, you win. Do with it what you need
precisely.
You do what you
but
need to
if
do.
If you
mate.
Can lend me a phone, I would really appreciate that. Just the basics I'm missing out on at the moment.
Little things like, you know, a phone. Or if you come across a charger, an old school one. Yeah,
exactly.
Help you out. That's wicked, man. That's cool. I've got to say, what I like about the Gadget Show as well, and I feel like you've done with the last season and this one, is that I like it when there's genuine fails as well. It's not like everything you bring on the show is like, oh, it works, it's great, it's amazing. Have we got, and you don't have to explain what they are, have we got a few funny little things that are going to go wrong here and there?
Oh, let me think. I mean, don't get me wrong, every Gadget Show shoot, and we always try and give the gadgets a fair
run.
It's like they've got their own union or something. Give the gadgets a fair turn. We always do try and like sort of make sure that it's not just down to us being a little bit silly, getting them out the packet or whatever. But I mean, every single time there's always one that doesn't work.
I mean, it's
always
wicked.
One that doesn't work.
I think I saw like an egg. Was it like a scrambled egg maker when you did like a barbecue and it made some disgusting
it
egg
really did, and it
sausage
taste,
poo.
It tasted horrible as well. I think Otis undercooked them.
Yeah, I've got to say, I don't feel like he... sorry, Otis, I know you're listening. I don't think he could throw it down in the kitchen using those gadgets at all. Like, if I went into his kitchen and I saw those, I'd be like...
Basically, we're all a bit crap at cooking, but often we have to do cooking features, and it's quite hilarious trying to watch us put something together.
Yeah.
We're like, there's probably a reason we're not on the Bake Off.
Yeah, most definitely. Your Christmas special was pretty cool last year, so I'm expecting big things from this year.
Yes, absolutely. I love, they're really good fun, those shoots, because we're all together. Even though it looks like one episode, we film it over 2 days. Aww. So there's always like an epic feeling of sort of getting it through everything. And then obviously in the middle day, in the evening, we'll have a drink or two.
A little beverage.
No, exactly. Craig Charles is there. So, he's leading the charge on
really?
That one.
Really? Oh, what a surprise. crazy.
But yeah, it's good fun. They're really good fun. But we always film those in like October time. So I'm dressing up in Christmas jumpers far too early.
Does it get you in the Christmas spirit already? Because I have noticed there are Christmas displays up. And as we speak, this is the end of September 2018. And I'm seeing Christmas displays up in shops.
I've now had to like rethink like my attitude towards this, because it used to get me really annoyed. But now I'm like, no, it is just basically a season that goes from October to end of December. And don't think of it as that one Christmas day, because that's silly. So embrace all things festive.
Yeah. What's your technique for Christmas present buying? What's your tech is?
Predominantly online.
Yes.
Predominantly online.
And
actually
early?
Like freebies as well. the few freebies I do have, I'm like, is it really obvious I've got been given that?
Yeah,
you know,
yeah.
Sending that off to, you know, various sort of distant relatives. So there you go.
I'm definitely at a camp where end of October, I've got to be honest, 99% of my Christmas shopping has been ordered, is on the way to me. I may have ticked. If you've ever wondered why the wrapping and the present I give you is so great, I may have ticked gift wrap. Like, I'm just saying, I'm that guy.
Are you like a Black Friday, Cyber Monday dude? No.
I'm a while everyone's running around being a nutter, sitting at home with a brandy, watching you on the news, killing each other. There's an old school film with Arnold Schwarzenegger in it where he's trying to get a Turbo Man. Called Jingle All The Way, I think it is, and he wants to get this one toy for his son.
Yeah.
I remember watching it when I was a kid and watching this poor dad go through hell to get one toy. I remember watching that saying, I never want to ever do that ever. Even in the end, he gets the toy, spoiler. I'm like, nah, Christmas time, I want to be consuming beverages and eating all the foods.
Yeah. Precisely.
I want to be getting the first chocolates out of the celebrations, all the good ones.
Those videos from Black Friday are ridiculous, though, aren't they?
Like proper punch-ups.
Exactly. Proper like scrambling to get into the shops.
And some of the junk that people are grabbing, like, oh, I need that enormous barbecue. Really a barbecue in December? No,
I do get carried away with it. I'm like, oh, two electric toothbrushes. Of course I need multiple ones.
Yes, well, just in case, exactly. You know, you always lose your electric toothbrush, just like socks.
It's more expensive than just the one, but why not?
Yeah, what the
heck? It's a deal.
Yeah, definitely. Also, you've been up to some podcast business as well, haven't you?
Yeah, I have. So I've been doing we haven't started releasing, we're sort of like trying to bank a couple before we release them weekly. Looking at different industries that have been disrupted. So it's quite cool. It's in collaboration with a co-working space called Fora Space. This is a cool co-working space that you guys are based in.
Thank you very much. Yeah,
it's nice. It's got vibes in here.
It's got good vibes in here.
It really has.
Yeah, it's got good vibes. A little bit of history. Used to be a kitchen, like an industrial kitchen factory. Then was a bunch
industrial
of
industrial kitchen factory.
Yes, it was. Then it used to be loads of music studios, and it became shared office space.
Okay,
that's why we snatched a little studio space.
So, was this an old studio from that time?
Yeah. So the way that this is set up, we've got like a floor that's slightly raised so that we don't disturb anyone else with our loud laughs or music, and soundproof room. So we've managed to grab one of the old studio rooms and repurpose it. So
yeah,
got good vibes in here. Thank you very much. I don't. Have you ever had a complaint about this article in our studio?
No.
It's not like the first place, is it, that we're in?
No.
The dungeon.
The dungeon that doesn't exist anymore.
Yeah, come on. Oh, has it been knocked down?
It's been, something else now, isn't it?
Yeah,
building site.
I like this. I've sort of got a history of London buildings.
Hey.
Anything happens on this podcast.
Hey. Do you want another fact as well?
Go on.
There's a Spider-Man.
It's world exclusive.
Yep.
My dad used to work here as well.
No.
Long time ago.
What, the kitchen factory?
Yeah, he did.
Did he?
They're getting a little bit of dollar in back in the day.
Yeah, how funny. Yeah. So you must live near here then?
Not too far from here.
We won't give your address out.
Not just yet. Thanks. Billy, don't. Yeah, Billy will find out. Right. Actually, you know what? Before we crack on with the podcast, I feel like everybody on the Gadget Show has their own area. I feel like when it's John, I feel like photography.
Yes.
That's his yep. area.
Agreed.
I feel like when it's Otis, it's let's make him scared and shout and scream, right? Craig is...
Which he does far too easily.
I mean, there's nothing sweeter than hearing him at his highest pitch. I feel like Craig's like your everyman. I like it. He gets involved and he kind of dips into everything. I feel like you are the secret agent of the gang. They send you off to places that no one else is usually allowed, like including in Facebook. Because let's talk about that, because I think that was absolutely awesome.
Yeah.
We got to see an area of Facebook you never really ever see at quite an interesting time, actually, where Facebook was in the press quite a lot.
Absolutely. So we went over to San Francisco to Facebook headquarters there, and we were predominantly doing Oculus Rift. But just being, so it is incredible, this their whole office. There's like sort of 10,000 people in this compound. It's a bit like a university campus. And every single restaurant, everywhere you go, it's free. So you like just walk around the place, you can like go in. They're like different restaurants and stuff, but everything's free. You can just take anything you want. And sorry, this is slightly not talking about Oculus Rift at all, but we love free food.
Yeah, it's all about the food, mate.
And they say that part of their training program now is they have to tell people when they go into, when they start working at Facebook, that you've really got to think about it when you go out in the normal world, because Facebook staff kept just taking things from shops because they get so used to just walking out without paying, and, you know, without just thinking, just going to the ice cream shop, getting their ice cream, walking out the shop, or whatever, water bottles, whatever it may be. They're just nicking stuff left, right and centre.
I would love to see someone trying to explain to an officer. No, like, officer, I wasn't stealing. I work for Facebook. That's what I was trying to do. What's up, Bill?
I read online that people who work at Facebook, they kind of just live there because they can just get everything they need, lunch, breakfast, dinner.
Have they got apartments there, Georgie?
No, not that I saw or know of.
Sleep at their office or something.
Mark Zuckerberg works in the middle of this big co-working space. Like, he doesn't have a special office. He's literally just like in the middle of this massive space. And they also they have like loads of these helium balloons everywhere that have different numbers on. I was like, oh, what's that mean? And if you, every year you work there, you get a different helium balloon with however many years you've been there. So they're like, any year, and I may get this wrong, but like any balloon that's like above 7 means that they are absolutely loaded because they were there like
yes.
when it was still really small.
You were there so when the shares
see, like,
were.
Exactly. Yeah. You see when a balloon 9, you're like, oh God, they must be big.
Yes, the share options gang, the people that are just there for a bit of fun.
You know what I mean? Exactly. They're just riding that wave. They're like, this is working for me.
That's insane.
But yeah, so apart from the free food, which I absolutely
enjoyed. You smashed that, right? Tell me you smashed it. Did you do the sweetie machines as well?
Yes, and ice cream, and I think we got donuts at some point. I mean, all the health food options, and they even have like a cheese shop thing at the top of like on this like roof.
It
is really fancy, I tell you. But yeah, we did. It's amazing seeing what they're doing with Oculus Rift there. So I thought you were going to ask me where I fit into the gadget show.
Yeah, no, don't most certainly.
And I was going to say VR is something that I like really love.
Wicked.
And I'm not, that may be a bit niche, but I do love VR.
Yeah.
And yeah, so it was great seeing. I did a VR experience, which they're using at the moment to train nurses. And you put this VR headset on and you have to resuscitate a baby, or like you go through options resuscitating a kid. And it's really powerful. And they're actually using this now as a training program. And they have to pass it in order to get through to the next, to the next part of their course.
Okay, so this is like actual real world application in training people to become, medically proficient in an area. So it's really interesting because there's like two schools when we talk about VR here. Everyone agrees it's fun. Mm. Some people are like, oh, I don't know what else it can do or how social it is, but you're a big fan of it. What is it you love the most about VR?
I guess it's one of those things that if it's a really good VR experience, I'm talking Oculus Rift or HTC Vive, and someone hasn't used VR before and they put it on, I can guarantee they'll come out of it with their mouth open saying, oh my gosh, I've never experienced anything like that. Like, that was just phenomenal. And I think for tech to have that power on people, I just still don't think people have truly experienced what good VR feels like and how immersive it is. And that's a word that's so overused when you're speaking about VR. But truly, when you come out of it and then you're just sort of placed in a normal room, or you realize you're just at an exhibition center or something like, oh, wow. I mean, I've been to places you can't even imagine right now. And like the scales of everything feel really realistic.
Yeah.
Have you done the Blade Runner experience?
No, tell us about that, man.
It's really cool. And that's a really interesting sort of blurring of genres of it, both being a game, but also you experiencing the movie. And you just sort of tootle around in a world for a bit, but every so often they will play scenes to you, and then you sort of will travel in the car somewhere else. And it's just a really interesting sort of crossover between a game and, experiencing a film. And it really feels like you're there. And I think also with VR is that you, when you remember the VR world you're in, it's like a real memory instead of it being something where you sort of aware of other bits around you. So yeah, I think it's really interesting the implications of that and how it can be used, to but both for fun, but also for things like, training people or educational purposes.
Yeah. We've also had some good experiences here, great experiences with AR as
yes.
well. So what's your take on
that? I so want to try Magic Leap one.
We've not
Have you tried it?
We've done Star Wars.
can't remember the name of it.
We'll put a link to it in the show description, but we've done a Star Wars one, and it was sick.
Yeah.
And it was...
Was that with Magic Leap?
I'm not sure if it's Magic Leap. Billy, do you mind doing the Googles while I talk to George? Is that all right?
It wouldn't have been Magic Leap because that's like a brand new thing.
I think it's only... I haven't met any UK journalists that have tried Magic Leap, but okay. I'm sure some people have.
So
I've just predominantly read US reviews.
Okay, cool. So... The Star Wars one we did was as well as it being AR, so you wore a VR headset and you wore a remote pack, so you wear the computer that does the VR on you. It had special sensors that actually scanned your hands, but you weren't seeing your hands. You were seeing rendered versions of your hands in the game with detail that meant that you could move all your fingers. So the first thing I did with the cameraman, Paul, is flip the bird at him. I was like, yeah, definitely it works. Definitely works. And it had microphones that picked up your voice and transmitted it to the other players, your stormtroopers.
Yeah.
And they added air, which was blowing in your face. Yep. They added heat. They added moisture. They added loads of different things. And it was a really short experience, but it was really intense. And we came out the back end of that and we were just like, this is the future of cinema.
I know. Yeah. They're the like hyper-reality experiences.
That's exactly what they call it, the hyper-reality experiences.
They're amazing. I haven't done that one, but like I think it was an association with HTC Vive. Mm. I did something where I sort of felt like I was climbing a mountain where they sort of had, you know, wind effects and it's really, really cool.
Talk to us about Magic Leap though. Sorry, yeah.
Well, I don't know too much about it. Okay. So it's sort of the next big AR headset. They had like, I'm not sure if billions is correct, but they definitely had like so many, like hundreds of millions invested in them. And they only ever released like this sort of product video. Right. So people, and I think it's been in development for maybe 8 years or something. And it's finally come out quite recently. So it's really exciting. Like, it's sort of meant to be used for, while HoloLens is maybe used for more like practical things. So like in the workplace, this is meant to be for more like fun things that you can do with it. So they've got like, you know, you can, one of the examples they have is like exploring different planets in your living room and things like that. I think it's really interesting. Having said that, it's one of those things that you look at it and you're like, already, even though it's brand new, I can tell that in the future, people will laugh at what this looks like. I think that with VR as well. Yeah. Like, you know that people are going to like hold up photos, be like, oh my God, in 2018, you had this like massive thing on your head and it was attached to a wire. You'd be like, look, love, we had to start somewhere, right?
Oh, was that back in the day when you didn't even have 4K?
Exactly. that's the thing. And you know, the VR headset. So I did this VR world record where I had to play a VR game for 25 and a half hours, which was quite boring.
Talk us through that, because that is...
That's quite a few how to kill it out, isn't it?
Yeah, that's very many. 25 and some.
And
yeah.
Half, yes. So this was almost like one of the first things that I did on the Gadget Show. Actually, tell you a story. In my audition, bearing in mind, like, talks have been going on for ages, the final audition, they said to me, like, Georgie, we're thinking of doing this VR world record. And obviously, I'm like keen bean Georgie, say yes to everything. I'm like, oh, yeah, okay, absolutely. Yeah, sure. It was pretty much one of the first shoots that I had to do where they put me in this VR headset and I had to play this game for, as I said, 25 and a half hours. So I agreed to it in my audition. And then my agent was like, you can't always say no to this. I was like, no, I said I would do it. So
shout out to North One. That is an amazing idea. The production company behind the Gadget Show. That is an awesome production idea. So we really like you, but hypothetically,
exactly,
would you do VR for a week? Would you just check in, because that's what we're thinking?
Exactly, because the job kind of depends on it. If you're going to say no, then we're afraid we'll go to someone else.
I mean, the last person that tried it isn't with us anymore. But what are your thoughts? Yeah,
like,
no,
luckily
pressure.
I don't get nauseous in VR. So lots of people, I am
prone to it. Yeah, are so you? After about, it depends if there's a lot of certain types of movement. I'm bad. But you're cool, right?
Yeah, so I was cool, which actually made quite boring television because I just sat there for 25 hours sort of slumped in a chair looking into the sort of middle distance playing on this game with my hands like this.
What was it like coming back into the real world?
Yeah, it was really strange. Like, as I said, the sort of like ratios and proportions of things. And you know how you like move in VR worlds? It's sort of like you like jump, you can jump down places. That sort of felt like when I came out, I could sort of just push myself forward.
And then you were like, oh, God, this walking is so slow.
God's
sake, yeah.
But the other thing I tried at Oculus Rift was Facebook Spaces. Have you seen that at all?
Yeah, like, please explain that to the listener, because I think this has got really interesting. So, like, I started future gazing looking at it. Yeah. There's loads that they can be used for.
So Facebook Spaces is like a VR version of Facebook, which allows you, it turns you into an avatar. An avatar which, you know, you look avatar-y. It's not like actually you, but you can create it like an emoji, you know, to vaguely resemble you. But what's quite interesting is that it really does like follow your facial expressions and like the hand gestures you're moving, because you've got it all on 3D capture. And then you can meet other avatars in this Facebook world, your Facebook friends. You have to be Facebook friends. And you can just like hang out together. So you could potentially like watch a TV program together. You can, you know, play games, make notes. You can be in sort of a meeting room. What's really cool is you can upload. So you can sort of, the space you're in can be dictated by a 360 degree photo. So potentially, you know, you could be on holiday. You just take a 360 degree photo of where you are. You then meet up with someone and you can like sort of show them around like what's going on. But a bit like me here, I'm like pointing to you like this. When you're actually in the Facebook space with somebody else, that's what makes it feel really real, because he could be like pointing to something there and I really see what he's pointing at. I don't know. It was really interesting about how, yeah, it felt better than using something like FaceTime. Even though FaceTime, you're actually looking at the person, it felt more like you're engaging with them.
It's like more personal.
Exactly. But it did. The only thing is your hand, if you try and like touch somebody, it disappears, because they soon realised quite early on, and like when they were testing out with people, that they would like grope each other.
Can you stop doing that, please? Exactly. Sandra, that's inappropriate. Exactly. It's a work meeting.
And it's really offensive. So in it, he like sort of like offered to put a hat on me.
Yeah.
And like, I didn't really know this dude. He was like one of the developers. And I was a bit like, oh, like, yeah. I even though it was in virtual reality and like we were in separate rooms, I was like, don't worry, I can put that on myself. It feels like you get convinced really quickly.
That's awesome.
So, yeah, it's good.
I'd love to see the first meeting when somebody worked out they could just put their hand through your head while you're talking. Yeah, to them. Like, bruv, could you stop, please?
Put that down.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free, or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
Yeah, so back to the podcast. So you two podcasts. So Disruptor, did you say it was called?
Yeah, Disruptor. Tech Disruptor series.
Tech Disruptor, yeah.
Yeah, so we basically look at different industries and see how they're being disrupted. So it's probably appeals more to people who have like startups. It's very much looking at the sort of startup scene that's in London. So we have maybe like three or four disruptors on our, like, it's sort of in the discussion each week. I'm gonna later today do one on recruitment.
Ooh.
Which sounds really boring, but it's actually really interesting. It's like looking at like how AI will find jobs for you in the future, and how you may not look at like job listings websites. There's a really cool company called Workspace, who again are a London startup, and they're specifically designed for software developers. And you sort of like create this little shape about how you want to spend your day, And like what things interest you. And so it literally, they call it a workspace that they create for you. And then an algorithm matches like the right jobs and the right sort of things to you. So just like interesting thinking about like how those things will change. Last week we did the art industry and like seeing how that's being disrupted by tech. We had a cool startup that's doing some fun stuff with augmented reality. So they're partnering up with different galleries, and then you sort of can load up their app and you can go around and get extra information on the stuff that you're viewing, even just like sort of basic information, because sometimes it can be, you know, it can not be written in ways that's accessible. So just looking at how these industries are changing through the startup scene and the impact that's going to have in the future.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
Georgie?
Yeah?
Got a great idea.
Go on.
For an app, right?
Right. An app?
It's an app.
Right,
it's
go on.
Related to actual recruitment.
I can pitch it to them later. Go on.
This is recruitment Tinder. Could you imagine that?
Yeah.
It's like Tinder, but you swipe the job you like, and if somebody wants to interview you,
I feel
you,
like that already
you,
exists. Like that already exists.
Does it already exist?
Yeah, I feel like I've seen adverts.
How do you know about this app, Billy?
Okay, yeah, I can say I've seen adverts from on LinkedIn or whatever.
Oh, all right, whatever. Yeah. Oh, scrap that.
Apologies.
Yeah, as you were.
Done. Yeah, basically, cool. Everything's already been done.
Bit that's shocked about how quick Billy was like, oh, yeah, I've been all over the app. Oh, cheers, Bill. Thanks, mate.
He's been swiping. You've been thinking he's been swiping for Tinder.
Yeah, I thought you were back on your tip. Billy's pretty, very active on Tinder.
Are you?
Oh, dear.
Are you?
Go on, share with Georgie. Go
not,
on, Billy.
Not too active, no.
You had a Tinder coach.
A Tinder coach?
Get out.
It took an hour. Like one episode, yeah.
Oh, what did they tell you?
Smile more.
Oh yeah, Billy has right moody. He like does these moody black and white pictures.
It kind of looks. Oh dear.
You kind of like. You kind of look like Wolverine. Like. Yeah, you like got that Hugh Jackman look. Huge and jacked.
You remember that one?
Yeah, you got the Hugh Jackman look, but he does like the noir version of the Wolverine film of Logan. Don't you?
I can really imagine that.
Okay.
but you said that you're not allowed to do that anymore. The Tinder coach told you.
No smiling, yeah. He said more smiling.
More smiling. He said be friendly.
Be friendly.
But he goes
welcome the ladies.
Yeah.
Men into your
don't
life.
Scare them away.
Yeah. I mean, dating apps are a funny old thing. I never really I'm recently married, so I can't really go on them anymore.
I guess you're not really the one, innit? Yeah.
But I always feel like I always get confused when people complain about them. I just feel like they're only adding to your life. What are they taking away?
What's interesting is that they've also become kind of like commonplace. Like I'm meeting couples that are married now. Like if you were to say I met my other half on, I don't know.
Well, no, I say I met the old fashioned way. That's how you know.
I met in a bar. And he's like, yeah, and you were like, yeah, you'll do. And he's like, all right.
Literally.
That's it. Yeah, should we get married? Is it last week you met him? Oh, cool, wicked.
Very quick turnaround on these things.
No messing around. Well, when you've got no phone, you've got to make it happen.
Exactly.
You know what I mean? How do you give each other's number? You
know what I mean? Analog. Just be like, look, marry me, and then at least we'll know where we're at.
Job on. Yeah. Awesome series. So throughout this, are you having the conversations with the actual creators? Or are you talking about to other developers? Where is it?
Yeah, so usually we just have people who own their own startups who are doing some interesting stuff in the space. And you know, we can like sort of talk about the industry as a whole, where they think it's going. They sort of champion other people that they think are really innovating there. Again, like, this sounds boring, but we had one week on energy and like sort of looking at renewable energy. And there's like been a whole swathe of startups that specialize in renewable energy. So all everything that you spend at home, like any energy you use, comes from a renewable source, which is amazing. It costs the same amount of money. And they were saying like the next step as electric vehicles become more and more is that you'll sort of be able to plug your car into your house and you can use the sort of energy that in the battery of your car to sort of help power your house, and then you can take that off the grid and maybe eventually you'll be able to put stuff back into the grid, especially if you have things like solar panels and things like that. So we're basically going to be on this sort of a lot more connected system where everything will help store the energy when you need to store it, and then you know, during peak times of using it, you can pull on things like your car battery.
Yeah, I can't wait for it. I'm all up for just having solar panels everywhere. Why not?
I know.
Why not?
Absolutely.
Save the planet.
I know. There was, speaking of electric vehicles, there's like, I did this panel about sort of the future of TV and how we're going to consume content in the future. And one of the things that we were discussing was that loads of people are going to be playing games and consuming content in their cars because they don't have to drive them anymore.
Yes.
So Tencent, do you know the games company? They have bought, I think maybe they have a 5% or 10% share of Tesla because they want in, they want that dashboard. They want people to be playing their games and engaging with their content when they're sat, you know, for maybe 2 hours in the car with nothing else to do.
The car's driving itself. And if you haven't seen inside a Tesla, their onboard displays are like somebody's taken a TV and put it in your car.
Basically. Or like more like an iPad.
They're getting bigger now. They're getting even bigger. They're enormous.
I love Teslas. That would be like dream car.
Yeah, I've got to be honest. When you get in one, you're like, how much work would I have to do to just get one of these right now? I started doing the maths, especially the, is it the Model X? The one that kind of looks like a 4x4 vision. Yeah. Love it, man. Love it. It looks really good.
Would you mind not driving? How do you feel about autonomous vehicles?
I would like it to, I'd like there, it'd be hard to do in central London, for example, in cities, in a way that you'd have a choice whether to do it or not. Because I feel like you need to go all one way or all the other. I think mixing AI making decisions and human making decisions is going to be hard in these tight environments, especially in the UK where we've got slimmer roads. On the motorway, I think there should be an automated lane. I'd be well up for that. I think that'd be really good. I'd be comfortable with that.
Yeah.
And then you could kind of click in, get in lane, you know, sync up and then go. But in terms of...
But it can drive itself already.
It can.
And it can change lanes already.
It can indeed. I just feel like being in the city and I don't know, like a cyclist whizzing past me. I don't know. I just feel like, I don't know if I could trust a car.
But
yet.
I think it's safer.
For everyone to be AI?
Well, no, I think it's safer just AI generally.
Oh yeah, 100%, 100%. It's going to be a very interesting set of conversations when there, and it's going to happen, I know it's sound a bit down, but there's going to be an accident, right?
Mm-hmm.
And it's the cars have made a decision, but how, and then somebody might be hurt more or somebody might be hurt less, but a car's, I don't know, right, let me give you a scenario. Two cars are driving towards each other.
Yep.
I'm in one, you're in the car with your husband and all your family, right?
Yeah. Kill you, number one.
Yeah, 100%. AI would say 10 times out of 10, kill Marcus, right?
Yeah. Even if it's just between you and me, I think I would win.
I would program the AI.
They would quickly evaluate our online profiles, the impact that we have.
Yeah.
And then they'll say, Georgie is the greater human being.
Yeah, they'll be like, now we saw that tweet that was taking a mick out of Terminator Judgment Day the other day and kind of
He needs to go.
Yeah. He said he doesn't like Terminator, so he needs to go. Yeah, so I think something like that's going to happen. And then there's going to be a huge uproar. And then it's going to be like, well, who programmed the computer? I think we, as humans, we like blame. And I think you can't get rid of the blame. So I want like all the way switch. I want to say, look, one day, no one else drives.
I know.
That's it, the cars drive.
And then we'll get into a car which just doesn't have a steering wheel, which is amazing.
More space for my knees.
Exactly.
Got long legs, mate. Yeah, well up for that. Well up for that. But yeah, no, bring it on. I'm ready to go. But what will cyclists do when they have to deal with cars? Because cyclists don't get on with cars nowadays. What are they going to do with AI?
Well, I think
cars?
The AI will be able to predict it better and be quicker to respond.
Fair enough. You did some Formula E stuff as well, though, didn't you?
Yeah. So I went over to, with Otis, we went to Hong Kong to check out the Formula E series there. And it was amazing. I got driven round the track in the Formula E race car completely autonomously. I think it can go up to maybe like 100 kilometers an hour. We didn't go that fast when I was in there because they were a bit like, you might die, you know.
Yeah, I'm cool with that.
But it went really fast. So it went around the actual racetrack. It's called the Robo Race Series that goes alongside the normal Formula E Series. And it's a really interesting concept where they basically can make these cars go as fast as they can. And it'll eventually be completely autonomous. It'll be like this autonomous race series where the winner will be sort of the person who programs the car the best. That's sort of the concept of it. And like, you know, because then there'll be no human there. So they could like, sort of run them off. But in order to get to that point, they need to be able to sort of have people that can sit in them. So the actual cars literally look like they haven't got a cockpit?
Yeah.
I don't know. Yeah. Should really know that, shouldn't I? Yeah, so they don't have a cockpit, so they can just go around. They have something called the DevBot, which is the one that you sort of sit in for them to like train the algorithm. So I went around on that, which was the first time I've properly been driven by an autonomous vehicle. And it was really interesting, like my reaction, like to begin with, f- phenomenal, like amazing. So the steering wheel is like in front of you and it's moving and you haven't got your hands on it, and the pedals are moving and it's going like faster than what I would around hairpin corners and stuff. And then after sort of lap four or whatever, quite used to it very really? Quickly. It really doesn't take long to get used to it. It really, I promise you, when autonomous vehicles eventually become mainstream, it won't be long till we just completely forget what it's like to be there in the car.
It's like hopping in an Uber really though, isn't it?
Precisely.
Yeah.
And again, like, you know, no offense to Uber drivers, but sometimes I can get into my Uber and I just don't really speak to them at all. I just literally sit down, I say, Georgie, they sort of nod, take me to my destination. I get thank you as I leave. Wow. And you think, yeah.
You're not on that five-star life, are you? You don't care about that rating. Georgie, you don't want that five-star rating.
You know what? I know. I realize because I chat all the time in real life. Sometimes I can be a right rude bitch when I'm just out and about. Like the hairdresser, I won't talk to my hairdresser.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
I know.
People go there for therapy. Evil. Hairdressers get the unload. They kind of expect it more time than not.
Yeah. I like get my book out, do my work, do computer work. Just like made it clear that I don't want to talk.
Wow.
I know. I'm really.
Grumpy Georgie's coming on, guys. He's ready for some exciting conversation. Oh, hi. She's in. Hey.
I'm such a fraud.
Wow.
I know.
Do you know your Uber rating? You should ask, you know.
You know what? I would look, but don't have a phone.
Oh, cool.
It's probably
man.
Gone up since this past month of me not using it.
Yeah, yeah, it's gone up. Yeah, definitely. You're also doing another podcast though, right? The two podcasts.
Yeah. So my next one, which we haven't started yet, is slightly a twist on what I'd normally do. It's a sleep podcast.
Okay.
Which is unusual. But yeah, we're looking at, we've got a sleep expert. It's sort of like a wellbeing podcast, I guess. And we get different guests on each week. You know, sort of social media influencers, celebrities, that kind of thing. And we'll just talk to them about their sleep habits and like what they get up to and like unpick some of the science behind it. And we've got the sleep expert who will sort of give insight into stuff. And we're going to have different people from different areas. So, you know, people who maybe travel a lot with their work, people who have a young family, people who maybe suffer from insomnia. And we'll just talk about sleep.
Okay. So, and pick up techniques to help your sleeping.
Yeah, pick up techniques, sort of find out, you know, that like genuinely just interview a bit like what you do, but speaking about getting ready for bed and,
you know,
sort of dreams and
sleep hygiene, I believe. That's what they call it. Yeah, sleep.
I don't think I'd call my podcast sleep hygiene.
No, you don't call
I feel
it
like that.
That
sort of would attract a niche audience.
Yeah, no, nah, yeah, it's not good. I'll tell you what though, I just got my hands on the latest Apple Watch actually.
Oh, and, nice.
There was an app.
Did you get given that for free?
I did go down to Apple and yeah, they did gift it to us, yeah.
Oh, for God's sake. Why is it that I don't get anything for free?
Well, all I'm saying is Apple may listen to this now.
Billy, did you get your phone for free?
No, I paid for that.
All right.
Just pointing around the room. Did you get that for free? Did you get that for free?
What about that? Humphreys.
Why was I talking about watch? Oh, yeah. So one of the things that... it's quite interesting about this is that I was recommended an app. I'm handing the watch over to. What do you think of it, by the way? What do you think of it, Georgie?
I haven't actually played with it yet.
It's
Isn't it called Breathe?
There is an app called Breathe on it, and also Breathe is a native app. Actually, I'll whack it on your wrist. There you go. Currently popping it on Georgie's wrist. There you go. And then I think I'm putting the password because I don't want to find that out on air.
What? Quickly show everyone your password.
Just realised the camera's there.
Show me your password. I want to know it.
That's all right. You're logged in.
Do you use the same password for everything?
No. For the record, all of my passwords have got a different combination. Every single one. Billy's writing it down now.
You're lying it.
So there's a little blue bit on the screen. Tap that. That's a breathe app.
Oh, for you. Okay.
Yeah. And basically it's a really interesting app and it's to do with well-being. And while Georgie's doing that, it brings everything back to your breath.
Yeah.
And this is a really important thing, your breathing technique. So breathe through the power of the vibrations in a watch kind of guides you to breathe in and out.
Yeah. Why can't I check it? There you go.
And then if you press start, I'll let you explain to the listener what's actually happening.
Okay, so be still and bring your attention to your breath. have to say, I really like Apple's really pushing the sort of well-being thing around 100%. Gadgets, you know. 100%. I think this latest update with, oh, okay, so now inhale.
So it's like vibrating, it goes like,
and we've got a lovely little graphic on screen that gets sort of bigger and smaller, like a kaleidoscope, really.
Yeah, you can change that now on this version to like different kind of circles and stuff.
I guess the sort of vibrations mean that you don't actually have to look at it. You could just do it through.
Yeah, so you can stick it on, sit on the couch, close your eyes, and just get 5 minutes of.
Do you actually use this?
I really do so much. It's a sort of. I was very like, what's the point when it came to wearables? I'm like, if it can't do everything my phone can do and more without me needing my phone, I don't care. But as a device that kind of helps to give you quick updates on your day and things like Breathe are really good.
Yeah.
OS 5. Just using maps because you get prompts. So you're walking down the street, you get a certain number of taps or type of tap to turn left, certain type of tap to turn right, means you can walk through, I don't know, be in Barcelona or France and you can make your way to the Eiffel Tower
walk
without having
with
to
your
look
head
down.
Up.
Head up, looking around, looking like you know where you're going.
Exactly.
Yes.
You ain't no tourist.
Exactly. I may not be able to speak your language and only ask for beers in your language because that's
worry,
the first thing I learned.
You can use Google Translate or something.
I can get anywhere. Yeah, that's it. Yeah. So there are Translate apps as well.
I think that's, you know, going back to augmented reality, that's like what's exciting about augmented reality, which eventually will mean that like screens are intrusive. They do get in the way of like looking at people in the eye or, as you said, like, you know, following directions to sort of be able to walk around and actually engage with humans in the outside world, I think is where we'll see the sort of next generation of gadgets to go to.
100%. I mean, Google had a go. Didn't work too well with them, but they're going to learn from it. And I presume everyone else is going to learn from, you know, kind of the way that it was glass, I think.
Yeah.
Didn't go well. I think we'll be able to progress. Maybe we weren't ready for it. Maybe, you know.
Yeah, I mean, it did look awful though, didn't it?
Imagine explaining to everyone that, you know, 10 years ago that everyone would be sharing pictures of themselves on holiday, saying when they're getting a flight, saying where they are, saying what they're eating. You'd be like, that's really... Why would you share that on the internet? And now it's so commonplace for you know, people to be like, hey, I'm here. Hey, I'm there. Hi, I'm wearing no clothes and I'm on holiday. Like, it's just normal. Do you know what I mean?
I've better tune into your feed.
Someone hasn't been on the Instagram for a while.
Right.
There you go.
I am
missing
out.
There are some hashtags that make your Instagram real colourful. I was talking about the watch. What else it got? So, yeah, like you mentioned.
The fall detection, which I thought was really interesting.
Yeah, so they're a big, big, big influence on sort of well-being and health and safety. So the fall detection, they've taken loads of data, captured the way that limbs move, and they've obviously used the gyroscopes in the watch. The way you fall, it's either like a fall backwards or a fall forwards or a topple. They've taken that data and the watch can
sorry,
work out.
Sorry, I don't know why I find it funny. Just imagine you falling
Me falling
with
over
your arms
is not graceful.
Doing so,
I'm tall, so the bigger they are, the harder they fall. So it works out when you've had a tumble and it will actually ask you, have you had a fall? And if you don't prompt it to say, and you're unresponsive and don't move, it'll actually call the emergency services and let them know where you are. It turns on automatically if you're over the age of 65. So they've really thought about looking after people. And I presume with the amount of watches they're going to sell, we're going to hear stories about people's lives being saved and stuff like that.
Absolutely.
Yeah, it's awesome. And it's got a full ECG scanner on it as well. So in the US, it's available. It's FDA approved. We're waiting on the approval here in the UK. So you'll be able to get a full ECG. So I believe it's called a flutter. It might be wrong. So if your heartbeat is a little bit
irregular,
but it's irregular intermittently, you may go to your doctor and get a full ECG or whatever. And they go, well, you're fine. You know, those little symptoms that you had could be something you're great. But now you can check your heart at any time, record it. You can go to your doctor and they'll be like, oh yeah, you know, this is what's up with you potentially. So it's a real like,
but even like going to your doctor and being able to give them, you know, stats on like how much you're
facts.
Walking and like what you're doing per week. I think is there a GP function within that?
I'm 100%. Yeah.
Where you can sort of pass that information over to them.
Yeah. They've really spruced it up. So for example, if you had a fall 3 days ago, your doctor can take the data. So you could be like, oh, you know what, doc, I feel a bit dizzy. Like, oh, give us your data. You had a fall 3 days ago, you know, you might have a little light concussion or, you know, do we have to check you out, take you to the doctor? So that's really important. And with the activity tracker, actually, it's a little bit cleverer. When you go for a walk, if you've not told it you're going for a walk, after about 10 minutes, it goes, are you going for a walk?
And
you
can
say,
what are you doing?
Yeah, I'm
where
going.
Are you going? Yeah,
yeah?
Say,
yeah, I'm going for a walk. He goes, all right, I'll count those calories. You can have a donut later. Well done. Well done, you.
Where are you at for today's targets?
I'm going to check my activity rings.
You're a right lazy so-and-so, aren't you?
I've got on a train and got here. What have you got? My activity rings aren't closed. This is a cool thing. We can try this out on the show. There's something called Talk, right? And it's basically a walkie-talkie. So if you, where is it? I think it's a yellow.
By the way, I love walkie-talkies. I used to have a great power range.
This is Talk, right?
Right.
And it's basically a walkie-talkie for your iWatch, for your Apple Watch, right? And I'm going to say, before you get this or use this or add your friends, only add your closest friends that aren't going to troll you, because when this is on and somebody communicates with you, the noise just blurts out of your watch, right? So
Huge.
What you do is, yeah, should we talk to Huge Huge? Yeah, Huge Huge. He was recently he's actually on TV at the moment, isn't he? Recent guest on the show, and he's got an Apple Watch and he's got the latest OS. So yeah, we can try it out with him. I think, yeah, it's on Eugene now. So you press the button that says Talk and then you just shout at Eugene. He'll have no idea this is coming. You just hold it down. It's connecting to him. Are we connecting? Yeah, there you go. You're good to go. Yeah, you just hold it down and hold down the button and talk to him and let go like a walkie-talkie.
I've been watching you.
Like that. Oh, you can do it again. It's all right.
Crack I mean, on. Talk about gaffing this. Right, okay. Right. I've been watching you. Will he just talk back if he wants to?
If he wants to. If he doesn't, he won't. There's a couple of other people we can try it with. Please feel free to press fast forward by 15 seconds on the podcast app. He won't be sitting there.
He's ignoring us.
Are you just Marcus, mate? What's going on? So, Huge, right now, you're you were getting spoken to by Georgie from the Gadget Show. Say hi, man.
Hi, Georgie.
Go on, go on.
Hello. You're making a guest appearance on another podcast. I mean, phone calls are a bit quicker.
Sorry, could you repeat that?
Stop stealing the limelight of my podcast, all right?
Come on, Huge.
Lay low for a while.
Right, anyway, yeah, that's what it's like. So it's just a bit of fun.
I love it. He's just going about his day and we've just sort of
ruined it.
Rudely intruded on it.
On a date, Eugene. I mean, looking like him, you'd be surprised if he isn't on a date. So it's cool. And it's a bit of fun, but I've kind of like used it to be like, I actually met up with Eugene the other day and I was like, oh, Eugene, just so you know, I'm just a couple of minutes around the corner. I'll see you, blah, blah, blah. At the bar, and he was like, okay, cool, I'm sitting over here. It's just nice for little impromptu conversations.
It is.
Or Billy could be downstairs, you know, in the caf. I could be like, Billy, can you pick me up a bottle of water, please? And he'd say no, but at least I'd know that Billy's giving me attitude, which is cool and regular.
That sounds about right for Billy.
Yeah, it does. See, reputation.
I offered you a bottle downstairs.
Well, we'll talk about that over walkie-talkie later.
Yeah, okay, yeah, we will. Sorry about that. Also, podcasts are now on the watch too, which is really important. So you can connect your Bluetooth headphones, get your Beats in.
Nice.
Or your AirPods, and you can listen to podcasts when you're on the go. And
what would you say you use it the most for? Just checking notifications?
The time. No.
Man, you know what?
Breathe. I use so much.
Really?
Every day I make time, or if I'm in a rush, I make time to spend 5 minutes working on breathing, and it's amazing how long 5 minutes feels when you're controlling your breathing. It's great at just centering yourself at specific times.
And like stops the chitter chatter of thoughts, which I think technology can give you quite a lot, you know, because you're constantly connected. I mean, you know, for example, using something like this, just like people are constantly sort of like invading your space. So I can imagine something like that is quite good to just switch up.
And health and fitness. So when I'm in the gym, I activate it. When I'm walking, it tells me I'm walking now. I use it for that. And that's really good if you're calorie counting as well. And I don't mean in a ridiculous sort of, oh, I've had this, but it's scientifically proven the more you look at the stats for what you eat and how you exercise, the better you get at it. So it's really good. It's really informative. And I think the key thing for me with the Apple Watch is just, it's just the welfare, the well-being side of things. It's not like, hey, it does this for no reason. It's like, we do this because we want you to be healthier and better. Oh, another thing, if your heartbeat goes over a specific, if you're over 120 BPM, it used to go off and tell you, hey, it doesn't feel like you're moving, but your heartbeat's beating really fast. You're okay. It now does that if your heart beats too slowly as well. You can say it for that too.
I mean, my only thing is, and I still have this problem with most smartwatches, is that I still think they're a bit too big for me. What do you think?
That is the bigger one. That's a 44, I think. So
I just think on a girl's wrist, like very rarely, I just want the tech to be a little bit thinner.
You want like a low profile kind of?
No, I don't. I just want it to be thinner.
Just so like it's
just so it's like, like a watch, like real. Because I just don't like, I wouldn't wear a chunky watch in real life.
You're not a chunky watch wearer.
not a chunky watch wearer.
Not
though.
A chunky watch wearer.
I do like Kit Kat chunkies though.
Oh man.
just best, from right? down there. Don't want to be.
Just saying, did you get offered one downstairs? I know they serve them in the calf bill.
No.
No.
I did have a Kit Kat chunky ones that didn't have the Kit Kat in it.
Oh, it's just solid like, chocolate.
Yeah, just one of those ones that just got feel like you could outside the batch. And you said,
oh, that tasted good. Sounds delicious. How did you eat it? Because I presume if it was like a cold day, you couldn't smash into it.
No, it was in summer, I think. I remember, so it was all right.
Or did you just put it in your pocket and walk around for a little while till it warmed up?
Yeah. No.
Is that a Kit Kat chunky in your pocket, or are you just happy to see me, Bill?
Oh, maybe I'm happy to see you.
Right. Anyway, welcome back to How to Kill an Hour. After that quick ad break, is there anything else you want to let us know about, Georgie? Because I know you're very busy, so we've got to wrap this episode real soon.
No. I feel like I've covered it all.
Where can we find you online?
At Georgie Barrett.
Mm-hmm.
Across everything. And as of today, I'm going to have a new phone, so expect more updates.
Yes. Expect the Twitterization, Instagram. What's your favourite social media at the moment?
Instagram, probably.
Instagram's where it's
Instagram
at,
stories.
Man. Oh my gosh. Where is that? Snap, dude, you got to do some catching up, Snap.
I know.
They've got some tricks in the bag, which we haven't got time to talk about on today's show. They've got a few tricks in the bag, but they need to do their work. I mean, that whole story situation used to be their domain. And I think Facebook tried to buy them. And when they said no, Facebook were like, all right.
Bring it on.
Do it ourselves, yeah.
What's your favourite?
It's got to be Insta stories. I love the polls. I love the questions. I just love you can tag people in it.
You just get good engagement, don't you? Yeah. With Insta stories.
It's really just fun. It's like a good domain out there, man. It's a good laugh. So Georgie Barrett and everything.
I haven't been on Insta stories for ages. So yes, they will be appearing as of tomorrow.
Yes, 100%. But I think now that you're back, you need to send at least one Kanye West meme. It's the I Love It video with the big shoulders. Basically, if I haven't sent you that meme this week, I don't love you.
Okay.
It's got to be a comeback. You just got to be back in the building like... Yeah, it would be great, man. It would be great. But thank you for joining us on today's show.
Thank
and headbutting
so
the microphone
much.
Just
I know,
then as well.
I'm excited. Sorry. I'm thinking about my phone.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Also, The Gadget Show, when can we expect the new series?
So it's starting in a couple of weeks in October.
Okay, October 2018.
Friday night, 7 PM, Channel 5.
Yeah, very, very good. Make sure you check that out. I've been Marcus Bronzy.
I've been Georgie Barrett.
Yeah, this has been How to Kill an Hour. There's plenty of ways to kill some time out there. Thank you for killing some time with us. Just before you go and listen to the next episode or listen to the previous one or go to our website. I'm going to tell you about our website, howtokillanhour.com. Make sure you check it out. Thank you very much.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
Hey, folks, I'm Mark Maron from the WTF Podcast, and this episode is brought to you by Kleenex Ultra Soft Tissues, your ally to help tackle your allergy symptoms this season. I love the change of seasons, but nobody loves pollen and all those other things floating in the air that make you sneeze during this nice weather. Kleenex Ultra Soft Tissues are hypoallergenic and allergist approved. So fight back against watery eyes and runny noses without worrying about irritating your skin. For this allergy season, grab Kleenex and face allergies head on.